Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Everybody, welcome to this week's episode. We have one of our own with us here, and I'm so incredibly excited, overjoyed with just what's going to happen today with our own teacher, Diana Clay. She has an incredible walk with Jesus, and it just spills out over in everything she does. And so you're going to be amazed in hearing how God has just took her on a journey and is continuing to take her on a journey, and how she has said yes, and how I love that God's voice is the loudest in her life, and she hears him and she wants to hear him and follows him. So super excited for Diana, or Mrs. Clay, if you're one of her students here with us today. She has a bachelor's of social work from UT Arlington, and she's worked with children with disabilities for a decade. She's also taught ESL online for 3 years, and she's been a Spanish teacher online with us since 2021, teaching lots of different levels of Spanish. We're so excited to have her. She's been married for 21 years. She has 3 children, 18-year-old son with autism, a 15-year-old son, and 11-year-old daughter. In 2003, they started a ministry called COA Connections, which is now COA Missions. And it's focused on equipping and providing opportunities for followers of Jesus to be on mission together. And actually, in 2019, Diane and her family left Texas for the Dominican Republic, where she is today, where they are teaching job skills and sharing Jesus to Haitian refugees. So we have so much to talk about, Diana. I'm so thrilled that you're here with me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited just to talk with you today.
Yes, it's going to be so good. All right, so I love what you put on your survey, that you're the queen of reinventing yourself.
I really am.
Yeah, it was so cool. So you've got to tell us, you've listed some things here, but tell us your journey. Like, what all have you been able to do? What have you enjoyed? And what is the future going to hold for you in the next reinventing?
It's really funny because I've enjoyed all of it. I feel like every step of the way, I've enjoyed every profession, job I've had. It's almost like God knows me personally or something. I don't know. But I think he knows that I get bored very easily, which is probably why he has me reinventing myself every few years. In college, I was a bookkeeper. That's kind of what I did as far as like a job to put me through school. I had different jobs, but that was one of the main ones. And then, you know, got married and we moved to Arkansas, where I got a job as an administrative assistant for one of the VPs at Walmart, which was pretty great. That was fun. But that only lasted 8 months because then my husband wanted to go to seminary. So we ended up moving back to Texas, which was good because I think I missed just being in Texas, being away from Texas. I'm a Texas girl and I miss it now, even being in the DR, but you know, once we moved to Fort Worth so that my husband can go to seminary, I went back to college because I took some time off from college. I went to UT Arlington. And so while I was working there, I worked for a Walmart store. And then I worked as a social worker with kids with disabilities. So I did that for 10 years, which was so much fun working with kids, with babies, really. It was ages 0 to 3. So my job was basically to go into people's homes and just figure out if the child had a disability or not. If the child had a disability, then we would provide services for that child. So I did that, you know, for a long time, which was a lot of fun. I loved that. But then after that, you know, with children, I started having kids, and then I had to leave that job, mostly because, if you know, social workers, we work a lot. There's a lot going on. It's just very stressful, as much as we love our job and helping people, but it was really stressful. And then my own child with a disability came along as I was working there and felt the need to just go and be with him. And so I became a homeschool mom, and I worked part-time as an after-school care worker at a at a Fort Worth Christian, which is a school where my husband was teaching. And then after that, I became an online teacher so that I can continue homeschooling, which turned into, getting my ACSI certification and becoming a Spanish teacher. So, yeah. And so that's been kind of like the ups and downs of my job, flow. It's been kind of up and down. It's been everywhere, but I've enjoyed every single thing that I've done.
So fun. So I want to hear your story, because you told me that you had a story about how God prepared you for your oldest son. And did that start with the social work?
It did. One of the stops that God had me, doing was, being a social worker for kids with disabilities. And I knew that God wanted to use my gift in Spanish. Yeah, I was a social worker for families that spoke Spanish. And so that was a lot of fun. I used my Spanish skills. But in that time, with the training, because with the job, with the social work job, they also gave you training to prepare you for, just to go out there in the field and notice different things that aren't normal as far as development goes. And so, I had a lot of training on that before I even had my son. So then when my son started, to develop, I had my son started to develop as any child does. They, they're babies and, they learn to crawl and they learn to talk and they learn to walk. And there's so many milestones that they have to hit. And because of my job, I was trained to see if things were just not going right. And I did notice a few things that were just on the verge of not being normal, but not so out in the open that other people were noticing. No one noticed. It was I who noticed because of the training that I'd had. And so I do thank the Lord that he prepared me ahead of time with the job that I had so that by the time my son came along, I was able to catch it almost like within almost immediately, really. He started having difficulty with swallowing and like sucking, swallowing and breathing like that thing that you just naturally do as a baby or as a person, but he couldn't do that. And I'm just like, well, that's okay, because a lot of babies have that problem when they're born. But that was just that's interesting. Okay. But then as time went on, it was as if he was looking at my face, but through my face, not at my face. And I can understand that and see that. No one else could. But normally, typically, babies or children with autism will avoid your gaze. Well, he wasn't avoiding it. He just was doing it in a very, it was not a typical way to do it. He started talking, which was wonderful, but I noticed that it was scripted. It's kind of like when an actor has a script and they have to, memorize a script in order to do their job. It was kind of like that with my son, where I would have to basically, try to get something out of him, and he couldn't say it any differently. He could just say the same words over and over and over. He was telling me his needs and wants, but it always sounded the same. And it was very sing-songy. It just wasn't normal. And I noticed it, but no one else did. And it was getting to the point where my family, my husband, even, they were like, I think you're bringing your work home. You're seeing things that aren't there. And you just gotta have fun, be a mom. Don't worry so much. He's okay. He's going to be fine. But I knew, and the bottom of my heart, I'm like, this isn't quite normal. And so I did eventually get some help, through my own job, which is great. I worked there already, and that was what they did. So I brought somebody in, and they, they basically didn't see it either. They were like, I think he just is speech delayed. Let's just give him some speech. And it wasn't until one of the occupational therapists that came in to kind of help him with a few things realize that, you know what, he has some unusual fears and that's not normal. So let's get someone else to check him out. And a person came in, it was a behavioral specialist that came in that specialized in babies and baby behavior, came in and took a look at my son and did a little, you know, report, and eventually realized that he was right on the cusp of autism. So, and that's when I'm just like, okay, I wasn't sad. Actually, I was quite relieved because I felt like I was going nuts. I was going crazy, yeah. But I wasn't. And I was actually really happy because at that point I could finally just be like, okay, let's just get him some help. Even though I had been helping him all along at home because I'd been trained to help babies develop a little bit better. So it's just really interesting how God prepared me for that.
Yeah. And now he's 18.
And, you know, they say that the earlier that you start with intervention, the better. And so I've definitely seen the fruits of that labor of just kind of sitting down with him, working with him, messing things up, because, you know, they like to line things up and have everything normal and have everything like in a line and everything perfect. And I would come in and just move one thing out of the way and just see how he'd react. And then a big meltdown would come. And then, but I kind of taught him how to just, hey, you know what? It's okay. Nothing bad's going to happen if I move one car to the side. See, it's fine. And so I just kind of did things like that over and over and kind of try to get him to not talk in a script, but to talk more naturally. And now he's the chillest teenager that I've seen, really. We've traveled so much and he's been able to travel with us, go on airplanes. We could take him to the store and the noises don't really bother him as much. He will kind of cover his ears from time to time, but we've gone to Disney World. He's been okay out there. Fireworks really do bother him, but that's to be expected. But yeah, he is able to, you know, join us anytime we go somewhere. Yeah. He's incredible. And he talks amazingly too. So he's just a really amazing person, and he's funny. It's just so fun to see him just develop and how he's developed over the years and how God had, he put him in my life. Like he gave me this gift of this amazing child. Yeah, he really is a gift to me. I love seeing just how God has taken him, and just kind of like grown. Yeah, like he has grown so much just before my eyes. And I don't know how, I mean, he still struggles. There's still a lot of struggles that he goes through, like noises, for example, or, you know, it's difficult to make friends sometimes. But even then, God has always brought friends along, people in his life to kind of encourage him and just kind of sit there with him and talk about music and, you know, cause he loves music. So people will sit and talk to him about music and talk to him about different comedy shows that he loves. And so, yeah, God's always been really faithful to just be along his side, be along our side to help us raise him.
Beautiful, beautiful yeah. story. Yeah. So I know, seeing that now, the fruits of your labor are so just incredible to be able to rejoice in that. What about for maybe moms that are wondering if their child has any form of autism? What would you recommend? And then maybe someone knows and they're in the middle of it and they're really in a tough season. How do they get to where you are today?
Well, I think just really rely on the Lord's strength. Because it's definitely not an easy path. I think the Lord really had to prepare my heart, even in the season where I was the only one to notice. I think typically what happens is moms really have a hard time coming to that place. So just being courageous and always seeing your son or your daughter just for what they are and that they're beautiful and amazing. And even though things don't look quote unquote normal, that's okay. Cause normal's too boring anyway, first of all. And second of all, who's to say that God doesn't have a plan for that person, just the way they are? What doors is that going to open that you didn't even realize? God made them a specific way for a reason. But I would definitely ask questions, go to your doctor, ask them questions, seek help. There's always a program. The program that I worked for was called Early Childhood Intervention. It was free, and it had a sliding scale. So there's always something out there. The resources are abundant. Of course, there's some that are really costly. But again, like I said, there's some that are, you know, more government programs that, you know, people are well-trained. I was well-trained. And so, and you go in there and you get somebody, you get some help for your child as soon as possible. I really do think that makes all the difference in the world. The earlier, the better.
Thanks for sharing that part of your story. So you're teaching Spanish online at North Star. I know you love your students and love all kids, teens, you've shared with me. But tell me a little bit about your journey teaching online with North Star and maybe a story you have.
Oh, wow. Coming to North Star was also just a story of faithfulness because, well, we moved here to the Dominican Republic in 2019. My husband got a job at a school here in Santiago. From outside looking in, it seemed like a really great opportunity and a really great, you know, job that we can, you know, just bless other Dominicans and Haitians and just kind of be here and just do a real impact in the community with the students and with the people around us. And we really loved that. And that didn't work out so well. So at the time I was working very little. I was doing ESL with students in China online and homeschooling my son, Julian. So that was not going to be enough for us to live here, even with my husband having that job. But then once he realized that this job was not treating him very well, it's best for all of us. Our family and you included to leave that job, even though we had just gotten there. And then, you know, when something like that happens, you wonder, did I hear God right? We thought we did. We were sent off. We were prayed over by our community before we came. So surely we didn't mishear anything, did we? But we felt that way when things didn't turn out the way we thought, especially when you're being hurt like that. So we prayed and we're like, God, if you want us to stay, you'll have to provide other forms of income for us. So we did. We prayed. We looked and looked. I found first a job with Seven Star, which is another online school. And then I found this one because that one wasn't providing enough. So, but yes, I found North Star and it was the day that I moved that I had my interview with you all. I moved to a new house because we couldn't be in the housing for school anymore. So we're like, okay, we're going to move. We're going to trust the Lord that he's going to find another place for another source of income for us. But I think that interview went so well for me. My hair was in a mess because I was moving. I was sweaty from the move, but man, were you all so incredible. And I'm just so thankful to work here, to work in an environment that is so loving and supportive and just Christ-like and Christ-centered. And I've been able to just kind of pour that into my students because I feel like I can, like you've got my back. So it's been an incredible experience to work for NSA. My students have been just incredible as well. I have no complaint. I couldn't have even imagined that the Lord would bless us in this way, but he did. I'm so thankful.
I love it. Our worlds collided.
And yeah, they did. They really did collide. So grateful for that.
Yeah. Never know what God's doing sometimes.
No,
or you probably really never, probably really don't know. And then he likes to surprise us. Yeah.
We never do.
It's so good. I love that story too. All right. So you got to tell us about Dominican Republic. I've never been there, but my husband's been there. He went on a mission trip. I know that changed his life. So tell us what it's like there. What is your daily life? What are y'all doing?
Well, you know, I work here for North Star and Seven Star. So I do have two jobs. And my husband also has three, I believe, jobs online as well. So that's kind of how we live and how we pay the bills here. But outside these walls is... it's crazy here. the driving for sure, has been the biggest hurdle for me specifically, probably my husband as well, I think. But, it's like Mario Kart where you go and you try to dodge anything and everything that comes your way, people, motorcycles, dogs, cows, you name it, everything's on the street. Cars coming at you. And so it's just, that's probably the hardest thing about living here is the traffic and just the roads. And
you have to drive everywhere you go.
I do. There's public transportation, but even those, I haven't gotten there yet. I haven't done that yet, but thankfully we've always had vehicles since we moved here. So yes, I drive here and that, but that's been really, it's been a hard thing to get used to. I'm used to it now, but every day is a little stressful out there. Other than the traffic, the people are so incredibly warm, which is wonderful. I think the difficulty is, yes, they're so warm. They're so caring. They will help you if you need anything. They will give you the shirt off their back. So helpful, so caring. The problem is getting deep into like deep relationships. I feel like everything's very surface level. And to get to a deeper form of a relationship or talking about, you know, spiritual things and things that are, you know, more in depth, more personal, those are a little bit harder to those conversations are harder to have with people. So it does take a lot of years. Thankfully, we've been here 4 years and we've kind of chipped away, you know, at certain people and just trying our best to really show that we're here. We care about you. And so that's probably the hardest thing I would say for Dominicans and Haitians alike. It's been a little bit hard.
So what are some things that you'll do to show them that you really care for them and want to get to know them?
One of the things that we've learned is eating and inviting people into your home is a really big deal. Our home is our sanctuary, really. But inviting someone in for a meal or even asking somebody out for coffee and just hearing their story, I think makes a big difference. And we've done that a lot. Over the course of the 4 years that we've been here, we did that a lot when we were in Fort Worth and we saw how well that worked for us. And so we're like, this recipe works, this, whatever it is, but it's so simple, but it's so powerful. There's something about a table that's kind of like an equalizer. I need to eat. You need to eat. We all need to eat. We all get thirsty. And so, yeah, why not do that together? We have three meals a day. We have snacks in between. And so it's not adding to your time in any way, but it is, but it's just an opportunity to do it with somebody. And so it's like, hey, let's go have some coffee. I'm pretty thirsty, or I really need a cup of coffee to make it through the rest of the day. So let's go. Or, hey, come over for dinner. I'm just going to make extra pasta. Come over for dinner. And people feel loved when you invite them over and just open up your home and, you know, your family and your kids are around and their kids are around, or if they're single, they just come around and they just love being around your family because, you know, they maybe either they're away from theirs or, you know, we do like to invite a lot of single people into our home. It seems to be a we have a soft spot for single people. So they love to just kind of come over and just see what our family's like.
So once people know that you're invested in listening and really care about their story, do you notice a difference, a change? Like they want to spend more time and hear your story? And do they open up to God and listening to the story we're in because of God?
Yeah, absolutely. We've made quite a few connections with people. I think church is wonderful. And inviting people to church is a really good thing. And I'm not saying don't do that, because people do definitely need to, you know, be around other believers and see, just worship the Lord together. There's value in that. But they're not sharing their hurts in that space because it's a service. It's an opportunity for people to come over. And just once they start talking about themselves, they'll start saying, you know, their story of how, you know, just their struggles, how they grew up. There's definitely a lot of pain here, Dominicans and Haitians alike, but definitely our Haitian friends are the ones that have it really hard. I think there's a level of racism that I've never seen in the U.S., but it's here. It's a very deep, rooted racism that people really do not like Haitians. Dominicans don't like Haitians. It's just, they don't want them here. The government makes it very hard for them to be here legally. So they have a lot of hurts. And so when you open up your home, all of that just comes pouring out. We had a friend that came over, just as an example, somebody that we've invited into our home many times from church, and that he's 27. His name's Edmund, and he's incredible. He loves the Lord. But when he started coming around, we started having, you know, dinner with him and started hanging out with him a little bit. He just started opening up about what his life is like here. And it's just full of fear. It's full of just unknowns. And it's really hard. It's things that I, as a American living in the DR, I can't relate. One of the things that is pretty common here is the immigration for the DR will round up Haitians on the street and load them up on a van and send them back to Haiti and drop them off at the border. And that's a fear that a lot of people have here is, oh no, I'm going to get rounded up and taken back to Haiti without my wallet or without my documents or without any clothes or money. Like, you just kind of go and you're at the mercy of these people. And then you have to either find a way back somehow, or stay. And so it's just a real fear that people have. And one time his dad was taken, our friend Edmund, his dad was taken. So yeah, they rounded him up and they put him on the back of a truck. But thankfully, clearly somebody was praying, because I had no idea. I know I wasn't praying, but somebody, was praying for this man, because, somebody from his church came, found out that miraculously somehow that he was in the back of a truck, and came and bribed the guard and said, hey, I'm taking this one. Here's some cash. And they released him. So thankfully he was okay. And he came back home. But that fear is there. It's very strong. So when they come over, they just, you know, unload and their burdens on us. And we're able to just, you don't always know what to say, because that's not my reality. No one's rounding me up and taking me back to the U.S. That's definitely not happening. But that's happening to them. And it's just really sad reality. It's really hard for them.
So is there hope for Haitians to become citizens of Dominican Republic where they won't have to have the fear? Or is it, it's just you're going to live with the fear the entire
time? Yeah, you're just going to live with the fear. They've kind of taken, about 10 years ago, I believe, they took people's citizenships away from them. And so it's on a like rotation where they have to, you know, have a visa here and have that renewed every so often. I'm not really sure how often, but every so often they have to happen.
They come for work?
Yeah, it's some type of a residential visa, work visa, something. And so the problem is that when I apply to get my visa renewed, it gets renewed pretty quickly. Within a month, I got my appointment and I just go and I get my residency renewed. And everything is fine for me, but it doesn't happen that way with Haitians. They will wait and wait and wait, and it'll be a year and they still aren't renewed. They don't have a call back. And so they're just kind of lingering here undocumented because it's not fair. Yeah. It shouldn't be that way, but it's just the way it is.
Yeah. So Dominican Republic and Haiti share the same body of land, right?
Yes.
Big island. Tell us what the climate is like right now in Haiti.
It is not good. There's a lot of conflict right now between Haiti and the Dominican Republic. There's like a land and a river dispute. Really, there's a river that goes between both countries. And Haiti has kind of made it to where the river kind of flows on their side because they're struggling to grow their crops. And they decided to go ahead and do that and really angered the Dominican Republic. And so the border gets open, then it gets closed again. No one's able to come in and out or even trade. So right now, specifically because of that river and because there's so much tension between both Haiti and the Dominican Republic, tensions here in the city of Santiago and pretty much everywhere are really high. And I have seen, the trucks being loaded up by Haitians. I've seen that a lot more recently. So it just hasn't been pleasant. And by any means, it's been really hard for our Haitian brothers and sisters to live here, so much so that they're moving back to Haiti because it's so bad here right now.
So are you able to have relationships with Dominicans as well?
We do. They're incredible. They're wonderful people. But like I said, there's also that piece, that racism piece that some have worked through and come on the other side and now really love Haitians. And then there's some that don't see themselves as racist at all. But when you talk to them and I'll have conversations, be like, hey, I know you're friends with that Haitian girl over there. You got to be careful because she can really steal from you. And, Americans are very, very sweet and very caring, and you can get taken advantage of. So I'll have to come back and say, that actually happens quite often to me. I have that conversation quite regularly with people where they will warn me to not be friends with Haitians. And I'll have to come back and be like, well, thank you for your concern, but there's evil people everywhere. Americans can be awful sometimes too.
Yeah. And all of us.
Yeah.
So what has God taught you? So you've shared a lot about your life and different aspects of it. What has God taught you? What is he continuing to teach you? Especially carrying a lot of pain, other people's pain and hurts. Yeah. And this hate. What can you tell us about how you've grown in that?
I feel like I've grown to really have faith that the Lord's got it. Even though it's hard, we went through something hard here too, but God knew, God had a plan even through that pain, even through that suffering, even through having my son with autism. That wasn't easy and that still continues to not be easy. But God's been faithful and I've been able to tell others, hey, I know this is awful. So much injustice, but in the kingdom of God, there is justice somehow. And I've seen time and time again how God really just uses his body and uses us, uses just, and how he will even sometimes come through for people. But if we'll just pray and be like, you know what, I can't help you in this problem. With this problem, I can't. I don't have the ability to help you. But God can. And having the faith to say that, be like, you know what? I don't know what God's going to do, but he's going to do something. And then just sit back and watch him do whatever it is that he's going to do. And just be there for people. Like this same family that I told you, Edmund, his family, we love them. His whole family has become like our family. One time they called us up at night and said, hey, there was a lot of fear that there were going to be trucks coming into the neighborhood to round people up. And they just wanted to be safe. And we live in a gated community. So they're like, can we come over? Can we come over just to hang out? And we're like, yes, absolutely. So come over. And so we were able to open up our home to kind of be a sanctuary for them. That was something that we could do, was to just open up our home and have like a sweet moment of playing games and eating food and just being carefree for a night, where in the beginning of that evening, it wasn't that way. So things like that, just being open to just what is God asking you to do? I can't fix it. I can't fix this mess that is between two countries that aren't my own countries. I love them both. I love the people, both of them. They're incredible, but they have their conflict with each other. And it's heartbreaking, but I pray that, you know what? Even with the conflict, Lord, you are doing something and you're providing for people. You're coming through for people. And I want to be a part of that. So at least that, just allowing them in my home was just a piece, you know, of the puzzle of what God's doing. And I'm sure there's other Christians here in the DR that are also trying to hear God, trying to see how they can impact others and doing the same thing for them.
Yeah. You're physically the hands and feet of Jesus, like we say. You're the refuge for them, opening them up, you know, opening your home, opening your lives. And yeah, so giving, so incredible. But I know it's not just an incredible blessing to them, an opportunity to know Jesus, you know, through your story, but it's also a huge blessing to you, you know, when we serve, just being able to experience the joy that comes from that. So,
yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been good to be here. It's been good to see God moving. And yeah, we're just open to see what God's up to. And we just want to be a part of it. What are you doing here? We just want to be a part of it. Help us to know what you're saying to us. Help us know where you're working. And we want to join you. We want to join you, God, in whatever it is that you're doing.
Well, as we wrap up, tell us a little bit about COA Missions and how we can help you support your family and the others involved in your agency.
Yeah, well, we started just a few months ago, really. We had spent last year praying and asking God what he was up to in this area. And then just slowly opportunities started to open up for us. And people started to say the same thing over and over, what they were looking for, things that we were actually able to provide, like English classes. That's something that can really impact somebody's life, is to learn English. And so we do have a few English classes going on throughout the week. I actually teach one tonight. And so we also have carpentry classes, because that's also another skill that people can learn and just earn a living. I think part of the problem with being illegal and the government not allowing you to be legal for a Haitian here in the DR is that you can't get a job. And so you need a skill and maybe market yourself a little bit to kind of earn a living. So, and that's what we're trying to do. So with the carpentry classes, with the English classes, because if they can learn English, they can maybe get an online job. And maybe do some, you know, either interpretation, or they can, you know, work for a call center or something like that. We're also doing, technology classes and teaching some teen boys how to, you know, do web design, how to code, how to fix computers. But all of it, every single class that we have, we're also not completely focused on the actual thing that we're trying to teach them, because to us, the most important thing is for them to know Jesus. And so we'll spend, even if we spend the whole time talking about the Lord and asking them just how they're hearing God this week, or something that they're learning, or something that they learned in church, or when they're reading scripture. If our whole hour or hour and a half time was spent talking about Jesus, then it's a win. We're good. We're good with that. So yes, we're trying to meet a need. We want to meet those needs for them. It's necessary, but the need for Jesus is so much greater. If they could just hear God, trust God, and know that he's faithful, then we've won. Like, this is it. Like, this is what we came for. So that's basically what we've been doing in the last few months. And it's been so fun.
How can we help and support you?
Just please pray for us. And we can, we really always need prayer. We do have a website if people want to donate, because we have a community center, and so we have to run that somehow. So, you know, people can always donate if they want to be a part of that. We have a Facebook page if you want to follow up on pictures and, you know, stories. We'll post a lot of things. We try to post every week with a story of something or someone, or yeah, we'll just try to maintain people and keep them up to date on what's going on, all the happenings that are happening here.
And the website is coahmissions.org. So COA Missions.
Yes.
It's been incredible to hear your story and what God's doing and how he's so faithful over and over and over in our lives. And so just give him ultimate praise and glory for all of that. And so excited that our students get to take Spanish with you, and yeah, just have such a incredibly focused on the Lord teacher. Yeah. And I know challenges them in that way, and also teaches them to learn another language and speak so they can have more doors open, more opportunities.
Yes. Spanish is also a wonderful language to learn. A lot of countries speak Spanish, so that opens up a whole world for my students. So I usually try to make sure that they understand the value of learning Spanish, because it is, even in the U.S., there's so many people that speak Spanish. And that just opens up a whole other demographic for you to love on, to share Jesus with, to be friends with. It's fun. It makes life exciting.
So good. Well, thank you so much for just being here, partnering with us at NSA, and for coming and sharing today on the podcast.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.